recording.
Good sir.
Hang on. What's different?
Look what I'm wearing.
Checked it out, you can't. Is that one of the t-shirts I got you?
They made it.
No, they did?
Yes, dude.
They arrived. Dude, do you know how close I was to sending you a refund in PayPal like today? I was like, I cannot talk to Andy again after him joking about me not giving him a refund for the t-shirts that never showed up. And you're wearing one.
Look at this. Checked out Chicago. So I checked out the postmark on it because I thought, I don't trust this James guy. Like, he probably just sent it last week. It's been sitting in his basement. And he's looked and be like, oh, shit, hang on, I never sent it. You sent it on the 21st of September.
I know I did. I told you I sent it, dude. How? I mean, did it get?
Yeah. I'm not saying I didn't believe you, but I like.
Yeah. No, I get it. Is there another Andy Gaunt in Melbourne, Australia, that got it and was sitting on it?
Oh, dude. Even if there is, like, he couldn't possibly have the fame I've got.
You know what? This tells me one of two things, and it could be both of them. The United States Postal Service sucks ass, or the Aussie Postal Service sucks ass, or they both do. How does it take 4 or 5 months?
No, I'll tell you. It's the Aussie Postal Service. It's been, particularly during COVID, just an absolute disaster.
And really?
I mean, well, we know, right? Like, you did tell me a few months ago that you found out the package had landed in Australia. So
yeah.
Anyway, it's, you know, what a way to start the pod. We've solved one of the world's great mysteries. I feel good. I feel really looking forward now to this conversation. Should we roll our intro?
Let's do it.
Welcome to Curb and Canyon.
So Andy, I'm very excited for your t-shirt. They all arrived. It wasn't just one that arrived.
Yeah, yes, two and some stickers, and there was like,
good
checked
lad.
Out the lanyard. It was like Christmas in my house yesterday.
Okay, so if I send you that other Luft t-shirt that I got, it should get you by
Christmas.
This September.
Yeah, by Christmas.
Oh, well, that's awesome. Well, what are we doing today? We got a guest on today. Another exciting guest.
Yeah. This, do you know, it's one of the things I love about having these guests on, and even the conversations you and I have, is that, you know, we do come across people that, I mean, you've introduced me to our guest today. I've not come across them before, but wow, looking at her socials, I can't wait to meet her.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm a little bit intimidated just because she seems so cool and so nice and so accomplished. Andy, what I'm saying is I need to sort my life out.
I know. I suspect by the end of this conversation, we are going to feel like the biggest pair of underachievers ever.
Well, without further ado, let's get Alex on the pod.
You as well, officially.
Oh, you're very welcome, and nice to meet you in person, I guess, virtually. I've been an Instagram follower of yours for a while, as you know.
Oh, perfect.
And this is my partner in crime, Andy Gaunt.
Hello, Andy.
Hey, how you doing, Alex? I thought James was very much going to do the "this is my sidekick" gag, but I appreciate that, James. Thank you.
Everybody needs a sidekick.
That's right. I know. I'll be Batman. You can be Robin. How's that sound?
There you go.
Before we get too far, Alex, you've got some pretty awesome stuff going on behind you. Let's talk about that.
Oh, behind me.
You've got more car and Porsche memorabilia in your room there, your little recording studio there than I have, I think, anywhere in my house, my garage.
Yeah. And what you're seeing isn't even half of it. So most of it's over here. There's stuff I can show you.
Is that right?
I don't know how to. Yeah, this is my bedroom. This is my desk, all the Porsche stuff. I'm a big movie person. I'm a big World War II fanatic as well. So I've got a bunch of old World War II stuff. Got all my little cards here, plane stuff, my fish tank, more World War II postcards, Death Proof poster, of course, my Bierstein collection, more Porsche. There's a little bit of everything everywhere. So.
So, listener, because you couldn't see that, that was just an amazing tour of Alex's room. What a cool space. And I got to say, you know what? A couple of weeks ago, James was talking about my new microphone setup. I thought I had the absolute inside track on cool microphone setups, but look at your – did you buy that from Elvis?
I've actually
That's amazing.
Had this forever. It was a Valentine's Day present to me when I was like 12 maybe. I grew up a musician, so my dad's a musician, I'm a musician, and that's what I did most of my life, right. So he got me this when I was younger for, like, recording stuff on my laptop and all that jazz.
That's so cool. Yeah. I'm very jealous.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't even really gotten into the cool, quote-unquote, parts of your story. You're more cooler than I – more cooler? Cooler than I will ever be. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I appreciate
there we go.
It.
So we've got a couple of connections there that we're looking forward to talking about. Of course, Porsche. What I love, I think I found you first because of Soul Performance Products.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, and I think either Mike or John was telling me about your car, and I was like, oh, I've got to check out that car. And I saw it online, and it is just the dreamiest 944 race car, the colors,
look.
I think I then found you on YouTube and saw you racing recently.
Maybe, but I posted. I've never posted in-car photos before, and I just did it the last race I was at. So
that was pretty exciting.
That was on there.
But then you describe yourself as, and forgive me for getting it wrong, but it's essentially Porsches, boats, planes, bratwursts, and muscle cars.
A little bit of everything. it's all vehicles of most eras.
You don't look like you grew up in the 80s, so you're gonna have to tell us about let's start with a little bit of you know who you are, what you do, and where you came from.
I don't even know where to start, really. Like I said before, I grew up as a musician. My dad and my grandfather are both car people, so I grew up around that. That's probably the essential core to my car obsession, I would say. Or they at least showed me the basis of everything. I grew up around it, so you know. And then I'm a big music person, and then I'm big into the arts as well. So I do fine arts, and I love movies and stuff like that. I like older movies, 80s, 90s movies a lot. I've always loved the aesthetic of the 80s mainly. That's where the 80s cars come from. Yeah, and then I also am into aviation and planes as well. So I did that first, and then I started getting into racing just only about a year and a half ago. So I'm still a baby to the racing world.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yes, but my first car when I turned 16 was an 81 Camaro Z28.
Oof.
So I had an 80s car.
Mine was a Ford Fiesta. Who are you?
Mine was a Datsun Bluebird. can you do a little less to make us feel this uncool? If there's a way you can build us up, it's
no. But I've always, you know, since I had that as my first car, of you know 80s, you know, boat. It was an automatic. It's the 350 V8, so it's just a heavy cruising boat, and I guess I learned to drive on drum brakes and no ABS, so you know, 80s was just like perfect for me. And then I drove, my grandfather has a few cars, and I was driving some of his 80s cars, some of the Porsches and everything, and then I just kind of stuck with it. Now I have four 80s cars, so it's just kind of, you know, stuck with me 80s wise.
So would you consider yourself more of a muscle car person than a Porsche person? Because
Not at all.
You know, you could quite easily be, you know, the sort of the Porsche racer of the 2020s.
I am Porsche top tier, Porsche German all the way. I don't like modern muscle cars. The only muscle cars I like are from the early 80s. So I just, the Camaro to me is just kind of like, it's, I've had it forever. I could never get rid of it. It's like my baby. It was my first car, so.
so you've still got that. You still got your first car.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I have that. So right now I have the race car, the 84 944 SP2 race car, full race car. It's not even close to being a street car in the slightest. Then I got the Camaro, of course. And then I bought a 85 Subaru Brat. So I have that. And then I got a 1980 Saab 900 Turbo. I just, that was my most recent. And then my daily driver is the 987.1 Cayman S.
So wow, look at you go.
That is my little bunch. Where do you keep them all?
My dad's in the construction business, and we have a warehouse that I keep some of them in. So, and then the rest of them, they're in the driveway. Two of them are at shops right now. So, you know, I'm keeping the mechanics as storage.
I had a picture of this single family home somewhere in Pennsylvania with like eight cars on the front lawn and no grass.
Yep.
Grass growing up around them, and
other than the grass, that's pretty much my family.
Do your neighbors just see you drive by and be like, "Wait, what's she driving?"
Yeah, pretty much. We have neighbors down the street who are also car people, and they're always like, "Well, when I bought the Brat, they're like, where did this thing come from?" Like, it's just never ending. And people drive by all the time, and always like, "Yeah, wow, you got a very interesting driveway." So, yeah, it's because between me and my dad, I mean, my dad has he daily drives a G-Body 911. I think it's don't know the exact year off the top of my head. So he's that here, Guards Red. So that stands out too. And
good work, yeah, Dad.
Old Mercedes as well. And so it's a very random little pack of children in the driveway.
So which one was your first Porsche?
I actually got the Cayman and the race car in the same week.
No way.
So Cayman came first, technically. So the Cayman was my first Porsche.
And so then the 944, had you done some track days in something else and said, this is what I'm going to do?
Yeah, I did track days in an Audi a few times. But, you know, it was a newer Audi. It wasn't really... It's a street car. It's not for the track. So then I did the Cayman. Yeah. I was tracking the Cayman for a little while and then decided to buy a race car. So I bought that. And I wanted to do PCA because my dad races Spec Boxer. And I knew of PCA. It was the biggest thing I was, you know, in contact with. I did a bunch of PCA track days and everything. So I knew all the guys there. And I was like, it was during COVID, so I wasn't working. And I was, I'm going to get a race car and I'm going to just drive as much as possible, learn this car like the back of my hand, and then amazing. Sign up for the racing and get through it. And I did it all under it. I think it was in a year or so. I drove like 30 track days.
That's phenomenal. So, that's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
And when you got the 944, was it specced up the way it is now and it was decorated the way it is now?
It was green, white. It was the same paint because it's painted, not wrapped. It was the same paint. And then I just swapped out all the decals to make it things that, you know, the company that was on, I didn't even know. So, you know, it just made it a little more like personalized. Yeah. The whole interior is the same. I added a few things. There's a new motor in it. So the motor's built differently. I added, you know, a few things here and there. It's got replaced items. And then I put a new dash, a new camera. So I updated it a little bit because I think it was built back in maybe like the, I don't, might have been built in like 2008, 2010, that time. Yeah, so it was a little outdated and it hadn't been raced in years. So it,
you brought it back to
I
life.
I kind of brought it back to
yeah.
life.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And why, what was the, what's the appeal of, because you know, you're clearly a car person, yeah. let's say, quote unquote, but the track, the racing, tell us about that. Like what was the kind of hook there for you?
I was working in the aviation industry at an airport for a while. I've been flying, you know, I've dabbled in aerobatics here and there, and I really have always loved the idea of flying. Like I wanted to be an aerobatic pilot that was like what I wanted to do. And I've always liked, I guess, daring activities, I guess you could
I'm
say.
Getting that vibe.
Growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was younger, you know, I was a big Quentin Tarantino fan and, you know, big Kill Bill fan and stuff like that. And I just always loved, like, that badass female aesthetic. Yeah. Always. And that's – I've always kind of looked up to that. That was always, like, my you know, thing to look up to. And when I was younger, I actually talked about how I wanted to be a NASCAR driver. And I don't know, I think that was the only racing I knew as a kid, but I don't want to be a NASCAR driver now, but I'm doing what I can. So, and then with the 944, there was, with PCA, there's so many car options, but for me, I think 944 just made the most sense, and it was definitely the most affordable option as well for me, because I could have done spec Boxster, but I just like the more raw 944 with, you know, manual steering, no ABS. It's you in the car. There's nothing helping you. So, and I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a good time though. But yeah, I've always been into the idea of racing and all that kind
of stuff. Well, that in-car footage just was insane. It looked really intense. Thanks. I mean, I've seen my friends do track days. I haven't really done it myself apart from, you know, the little track around Porsche Experience Center.
Yeah.
And that was just, you know, kind of pleasant corners and I'm going to speed up here. But that looked pretty full on. And, you know, it was, you could almost feel the road hitting the camera.
For sure. That was my first time at Sebring. So the video footage you've seen, like, you know, it wasn't perfect. I wasn't going to the fastest of the abilities. It was my first time there. It was the first race of the season, so I hadn't driven in months, and the car had a bunch of new stuff on it. So it wasn't like the most perfect weekend for me, but it was a blast. I'd never been to Sebring, and that track is so bumpy and rough on the car. And the 944 is already, since the manual steering, like your arms, it's a full workout, and it's already hard to, you know, like keep a hold of and fight. And then on top of that, with all the bumps at the track, that it was a cool experience. But yes, it was rough on the arms for sure.
What's that learning experience? Because you say you know that you're still a baby in this racing world, a rookie. Yeah, that's better. I like rookie better actually. But yeah, what's that been like? It must be nerve wracking. It must be, tell us about that.
So when I started, I had a friend. I'm a very social person. So when I was doing the track days, I kind of got to know everybody. So I already knew most of I had a very close-knit group in the PCA, so I already knew everybody. And everybody was very supportive. At the moment that I know of, I'm the youngest PCA racer in our. I know for sure all the races I've been to, I'm the youngest, especially female. There's a few older ladies that race as well, but they're not around. There's like maybe two or three other ones that I know of. But I am definitely the youngest that I know of at the moment. And so everyone's been very supportive because I know they're trying to get young blood back into it, because it tends to be an older racing group.
Male.
I was going to say the old white guy community.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which I'm used to, you know, working in aviation, and I worked at a mechanic shop for a while, so it's nothing bad for me. But the experience has been really good. Everyone's been very supportive. There are a few, you know, people here and there who get a little like, oh, I just got beat by a girl type vibe. But, you know, it's...
Oh, for real?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they don't say it to your face, but you know. I mean, ego driven thing. But if I'm able to navigate through it, it does nothing for me. It's whatever. I just go to have fun, and it's a blast. We have a shop works on my car. It's called Provost Motorsports. They're out of New Jersey. It's like an hour-ish from me. And the guys who work on the cars there, and all of the guys that are on the team with us, we're like a family. So that makes it like super fun. And having like just the community in PCA is absolutely outstanding. Even my dad has made some of like the best friends that we've ever made. Yeah. So it's amazing. Like I had a birthday party and it was all people from the track. It was like all it was. So it was just a bunch of older guys who are like my best friends now. I love it.
That's hilarious.
The experience has been fantastic. I've been very happy with it. So it's a blast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Any scary moments? Any big offs? Big mistakes?
On the track, for sure.
or off.
I mean, my car's had some motor troubles this year, so that has been frustrating a bit. There's just been some problems with the tune and stuff. You get an 80s race car, it's going to be temperamental. You know, you can't, it's not going to be perfect. Not any race, even the new ones, they're not going to be perfect. I mean, I've hit a wall. So, you know, that happens, and that definitely puts, when you have bad race weekends or bad track weekends, or you have an accident, or you just don't, you're not running well, it kind of takes a toll on your mindset. It makes it hard to get back into it. Cause yeah. I would say 60% of racing is all mindset. If you don't feel good in the car, you're not going to drive good in the car. So, you know, yeah. navigating all like the mental side of it is definitely, been something I had to learn and work with, especially, you know, if, with the motor being a little bit upset here and there, you know, it's been hard to keep my mind around that and such. But I mean, I've learned from every mistake I've made, and, you know, it only makes me better, and I'm learning more and more every time I'm on track. So it's nice.
That's phenomenal.
That's awesome. Yeah. And how do you, because you're right. It's all about like that whole flow state thing, mm-hmm. right? Of you just got to get in that perfect mind space, and then you get that flow and everything works. When the weekend isn't going according to plan, the car's not running right, or whatever, how do you try and sort of rise above that mentally?
A lot of it is I work personal. It's very per person. For me, I work strongly off of the support of my friends and stuff. There, you know,
yeah,
they have been a huge help. The mechanics that I work with, or I'm super close with them, and they've been super supportive. And, you know, when things aren't going right, everyone's like, it's fine, like, just, you know, stay smooth, stay fast, like, stay like okay. It's you get past it somehow, or one way or another. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes the weekends just starts off bad, ends bad, and it's like, whatever. And you can always redeem yourself the next time. That's what I like about the track stuff, is say you only go once a month or twice a month, or and it's a weekend at a time, you have breaks. So having that winter yeah. break, I didn't have a great end of the season last year. So having that four-ish month break into Sebring in February was really nice. I got to reset, focus on me, and Sebring was great, other than the car being a little finicky, but I drove great and I did really well, and that really set off the season good for me. So it's unpredictable, yeah. really, but you just kind of have to work on your feet with it. You know, you got to be on the spot and get ready for anything. So,
yeah, amazing.
Do you get involved in the other aspects of, you know, sort of Porsche culture? Like, are you in your garage like I am, tinkering with my car and thinking about what else I can stick on it? Or
I do that. Yeah, I mean, so I worked at, as you know, I worked at Soul Performance for about a year. I just left them recently to go back to flight school, actually, so I could have more time to do that. I love Soul Performance with all my heart. They were great. Loved working with them. And with working there, I did some exhaust stuff on my Cayman, which is really fun.
Very
so,
nice.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's like sometimes like when I the past year, I've been trying to find like the little like not necessary things on the Cayman, like I got clear side markers, so they're not orange anymore. And, you know, put like a sticker on the windshield. And I'm a big roof rack fan, so I have a roof rack on there. I ordered like cocoa mats. Like, it's just like the little stuff. I'm like, well, I guess like I need these now. And
hold up.
Do this now.
how does one become a roof rack fan? Are you a traveler? Do you carry your house with you and you tent a lot?
Or did you just do it to put a Christmas tree on for a photo on Instagram?
Well, it's a little bit of everything, I guess. I love the aesthetic of roof racks, especially on old 911s. Like, G-bodies with a roof rack is just, it's mm-hmm. perfection. I think it's like, it's very good aesthetically, I like. So I put it on the Cayman originally for aesthetic purposes, if I'm being completely honest with you. But this year, I'm a skier as well, so I have a ski rack for it, but I just haven't had time to ski with it yet. So I haven't put it on there. I haven't used it yet. And then I'm actually going to start kayaking this summer, and I'm going to get the kayak on the Cayman somehow. So
I was about to say, you're gonna start surfing just so you just can like put a board on the roof.
And I did do the Christmas tree. I did do that. I can't lie.
No.
If you ever find yourself in need of like a personal assistant to just carry your bags to all of these events, I'd consider leaving my job. I mean,
perfect. Do it.
Let's go to the ski slope. Let's go to the airport. Yeah. Let's go to the racetrack. Right, boss, where are we going next?
It's funny, isn't it? Because you want to ask the question, what do you do for fun? It's like, everything you do.
I try to do that. Both of my parents have been super supportive as a kid. They kind of, you know, if I brought up a random new hobby, they'd support it no matter how weird and random it was. Yeah, and I did online school throughout high school and half of middle school, so I had a lot of free time. I was did all my schooling online, so I had time to work early. I love working, so I started working early. I was traveling by myself a lot in high school, so I got a lot of like experience that way and learned a lot of things. And I like to live life where it's fun all the time. Luckily, I love working, so that work to me is fun. So like I try to make all the time fun, try to stay as positive and everything as possible. And I want to do everything I want to do, especially while I'm young, you know, might as well take advantage of it.
What a fantastic outlook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. No, but you're so right. Do it while you're young. You don't want, once you start making noises when you stand up and sit down, like James and I do, then things become harder, right? So just enjoy it. Enjoy it while you're young. Trust me. It's great. I'm filled with envy.
Does tracking have a physical toll on you? I mean, seeing that video footage from Sebring, I mean, I would imagine that my shoulders and my arms, especially in a car without any sort of, you know, electronic or power assisting, that you got to get out of there and feel like you've been beaten up a little bit.
Yeah, after a race weekend, especially Sebring, because we drove down to Sebring from Pennsylvania, which was like 2 days, and with that, like sitting in the car all the time on top of racing, this past week I've been hurting a little bit. Yeah,
oh, no.
But I actually, when I crashed back in, I guess, year and a half or so ago, I hurt my left ankle, so that gets like flared up here and there, but like. I'm out of shape to begin with, so that really doesn't help. I don't work out. I'm trying to again, but wait, if I were in better shape, it probably wouldn't kill me as much.
Okay.
But my stamina is absolutely horrible. So after a weekend, it's mostly all in my arms and in my shoulders. Yeah, it's just that car, it beats me up. I drove my dad's spec boxer for a weekend and I was like, oh, this is so easy. It's like floating around, the powered steering and everything. It makes it a lot easier. The 944 doesn't have that. So it, hurts a good bit.
that crash you had where you put it into the wall, are you happy talking about that? What happened and what was the feeling like when you thought, okay, I'm going in
here? It was the first week I had the car, so it was just all my fault. I was trying to learn the car. I was pushing a little too hard, and I wasn't running slicks back then. You know the second you lose the car, you're like, oh, here we go. Yeah.
Here we go.
And I think the most heartbreaking part about it was seeing the car dented, really. I came around, it was a New Jersey Motorsports Park. They have two tracks and it was lightning, and I was coming around turn one and I was just carrying too much speed, didn't brake hard enough, was trying to chase down a BMW. And I came around and it just...
Damn BMWs.
Yeah, right? All the worst. And I came around turn one and it just spun me and I hit driver's side right into a tire wall, fortunately enough. So better than a guardrail. Yeah. So hit the tire wall and there were water in the tire. It was dramatic, water everywhere. And it hit pretty hard. And I think I broke a tie rod and I snapped the steering rack. So I tried to drive it again, but clearly with the broken tie rod and steering rack, I didn't get very far. So, but yeah, it was hard. It definitely took me a while to like bounce back, especially because I just started driving the car. Because then you lose confidence in yourself a little bit. Like, why did I do that? Like, then you're scared it's going to happen again. Mm-hmm. I can tell you at turn one at lightning, I'm always like,
a little nervous.
But you learn from it. So I'm a better driver now than I was then. So, it's good.
I've had a couple of car crashes. And they've stayed with me, you know, the sort of
for sure.
The split second before impact, I remember, for both of them. And and now one of them was in an SUV in an ice storm near Chicago. And whenever I see those kind of conditions, I mean, it's not on a track, it was just like boring commuting. Whenever I'm in the sort of similar conditions, I often wonder, like, am I going to get that same sort of floaty sensation for a split second where you lose control? But, you know, you get over it. But it's just amazing that that kind of feeling, that noise off the moment of impact is like the one thing that still sticks with me.
It never goes away. Yeah. And it brings down your confidence too, because then you're like you don't feel, you know what happened already, so why wouldn't it happen again? So, you know, it sits in your head. But yeah, like with the car on track, especially not on the road, because roads are a little unpredictable on the street because of other people and conditions on ice. Like, I'm not racing on ice by any means.
Yeah.
I would love to. Those ice tracks are insane. I'd love to.
Of course
to
you would.
But not on the road or on the slicks either. That would not be a good time. But you know, you with on the track, you just, then you tell yourself, like, I just got to learn better control. I mean, the more you have control over the car, and my boyfriend, actually, he races 944 SP2 as well. He's been racing for that since he was a kid. I mean, he's been going to the racetrack with his dad since he was 8. So I didn't have that, but he's been driving his race car since for 8 to 10 years or so.
Okay.
And he knows that car like insane.
Yeah,
like,
he
never hits anything. He doesn't get
an
accident.
It's an extension of him, I guess.
Yeah, he doesn't hit walls or anything because his control is insane, and it comes with time and experience. So even in the past year, like, I went from hitting the wall and to now I'm, you know, I the con- learning control of the car is the most important thing. I mean, you can have, you know, the balls to go super fast around a turn and everything, but if you don't have the control, as if something were to happen, then, you know, you have to have confidence in yourself as well. So you have to know that you can control the car. If you know or have a worry that you can't, then you're not going to drive fast. You're not going to do it well. So that's another mental thing, is learning the control of the car. That's the biggest thing, really. I mean, my car has 100 and I think, what is it, 55 horsepower. So it's like it's not very fast. And you're on the track with people who have 300 horsepower in these SP3 944 turbos. Yeah. And sometimes you can be faster than them, and it has nothing to do with horsepower. It all has to do with car control and confidence and mindset and all that. It's the number one thing.
Yeah. And is your boyfriend, is that, he's racing the same category as you?
Yes, yes, yes. He beats me.
Right on. Is it ever, right, yeah. Okay. But that's all right.
It's someday okay.
Someday you're going to beat him someday.
I mean, I'm mostly second place with him. I'm right behind him, which is nice because it's like me and him together. But yeah, there is that little thing where I'm like, oh, I want to beat him so
yeah,
bad. But
just
I'm not
nudge
there
him
yet.
Out of the way. Just give him that little quarter panel
so
tap.
He's so fast. He's crazy.
No, you just gotta go Max Verstappen on him. Just dive down the inside. Just.
Hopefully he doesn't rear end me or anything. But no, he's really fast, and it's fun working with him. And he teaches me a lot, and he shows me a lot because he's been doing it way longer than me. So I'm hoping one day I'll get up there, and
that's
pretty much
awesome.
My goal is to get up there with him. He's a big. What's the word I'm looking for? Push for me to, you know, motivation to get to where he is. But it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. So I got to learn the car as much as I can, just like how he did. So I'm
That's
getting
fantastic.
There. And there is a SP2 class, which is, they're all NA 944s. It's a smaller class. SP3 is the class right above it, and that's turbos, S2s, blah, 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 blah,
right.
Much faster, 300-ish horsepower. SP2 class used to be big back in the day before I was racing, and now is smaller, but a few people are joining again, so that's exciting. So I think it's growing a little bit back, just because it's the most affordable out of them all. I mean, to buy the spec Boxsters, like, to build one, you have to buy a car, which the 986 Boxers have gone up like insanely amounts.
Buying the
donor car is like
10
to 15 grand now, and then you got to spend 50 to 60 grand building it. That's a lot of money. Or
that's a lot of money.
You can buy a 944 race car already built for 10 grand. It's like it's kind of like why not?
Yeah, no,
like So I think people are realizing that again, and 944 is it's slowly growing back, I think. We went from having like 3 cars to like 7, so yeah, that's something.
Hey.
We're getting there.
So cool that you do it, you know, that you and your boyfriend are able to do this together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool thing to be able to, you know, go to these events, spend your weekend doing something that you both love.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. And you know what? I mean, you know, in terms of you beating him, at least you can say – he hasn't been on the Curb and Canyon podcast. Like, I don't even know this dude's name. So you've
absolutely
beat him.
He's got nothing on me.
Yeah, that's it. So, I mean, yeah, shout out to him, but yeah. You beat him here. Yeah. So well done.
Sweet. That's all that matters.
So, Alex, what advice would you have? I guess it's a two-part question. One, just for people in general who have been thinking about tracking, have been thinking about racing, but also, I guess, more specifically, the female community, which is, you know, it exists and it's huge actually out there for Porsche. Yeah. But it's maybe a little underrepresented. And now being a new dad, and I have a daughter, I'm, you know, this gives me hope. I'm hoping that she's going to follow me to the track if I ever start tracking, or at least help me, you know, finally fix my goddamn 996 in the garage.
Follow me to the track. You're going to go to the track to start.
Well, no, exactly. That's what I'm saying. At least help me fix my 996.
Yeah. For people who want to get into racing, I highly recommend it. I think racing in general, non-pro racing isn't as known as it should be. I think anybody, like when I tell people, oh, yeah, I race cars, they're like, are you a NASCAR driver? No, but there's other forms of, oh, so F1? I'm like, not quite. like people just don't know that there's not just F1 and NASCAR. Yeah. Like, it's not a known thing. Yeah, no one, yeah. I mean, there's IMSA, but IMSA's not even that popular to the general public.
No.
So I think that there's a lot of car people I know who, you know, they get like Volkswagens and BMWs and they soup them up crazy for the road. 80% of the time, it doesn't even make sense what they do to the car for the road and everything. I'm like, well, why don't you track it? They're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you can put your car in a racetrack. They're like, really? It's like, yeah. I mean, it's expensive, but you can. It is doable. And I think people don't know about that. I think a great entryway in racing in America, that is Lemons Racing. It's, I think all you have to have is a driver's license and a race car. There's a price limit, so they're cheap cars, and everyone just goes out, and you're racing car to car. So you're still racing. It's just, it's a good step in. And then there's AER, American Endurance Racing, which I think is also a great stepping stone in it. Mm-hmm. And just track days. Just, I think if people just go to track days, and you, even as just a normal street driver, if you're not looking to race, track days are great because you learn your car so much. Like, even if you just have a daily driver, especially like 987.2s or 997s or just any, you know, any Porsche in general, just take it to the track. Learn the car. I mean, that's what they're meant for.
Yeah.
So, like, you will find and learn so many things about your car just by one track day, just alone. Even if you're in, like, the novice group, just going slow. Like, you will learn a lot.
Do you hear that, James? I hope you're listening, my friend. That's what the phrase was, that's what they're meant for.
Sure.
I heard that. I didn't take it personally, but my ribs are hurting a little bit because I felt like that was some kind of a jab.
No, I tell everybody. All my younger friends, I used to work at mechanic shops, and I even told them, like, I brought, like, some friends from there, like, bring your car to the track. Like, you're really into cars, like, full-blown, and your car's set up. People set up track cars for street cars and don't even know that they're track cars at that point. You might as well take it to the track, you know, if you can.
But what about for the person who's nervous about going to the track? You know, there is it can be a confronting kind of a moment for someone like James, for example. how do you overcome that sort of, I don't know, what would you say to someone who perhaps felt nervous that, you know, either they're going to bend their car or that, you know, the environment with other cars coming past them, they're going to feel as though, because these, believe it or not, when I've done track days, I've always felt like this and always felt that I'm holding other people up and I don't want to get in people's way. And it can be intimidating,
yeah,
right?
So since I only started doing this recently, I was in that boat not long ago. So it's safe. I don't know how every track is set up, but my home track is New Jersey Motorsports Park in Millville, New Jersey. It's about an hour and a half away from Philadelphia. And they have it set up where there's a novice group, there's an intermediate group, an advanced group, and a novice. You're behind a pace car, you're with an instructor. So you have someone there to make sure you're not going to go crazy and run into a wall, and you're not going to have to deal with that. And so I think it's, they work it out well with stepping stones. You just have to know where you're at, where your limits are. Like, don't try to, because some people come and they're like, I'm fast. Like, I'm a fast driver. I'm like, that's what you think. You've never been on the track before. Like, just go out, listen to the instructors, listen to yourself, listen to the car, and just be in the, don't worry about everybody else around you. Like, if they're getting held up, it's not your problem. That's their problem. Maybe they'll learn something from being held up. I mean, and most of the time in the novice group, if someone's being held up, then they'll move everybody around where they need to go. So I just think it is difficult, especially having the anxiety of thinking outside the car, what's happening around you, who are the people, who's watching me from the stands. That took me a while to get used to, of being like driving around the track and I'm like, I know my people, my friends, my family here watching me from the stands. Like, I don't want to do anything stupid in front of them, and like stuff like that, like always got in my head. And it's just learning to just cancel it all out and focus on yourself, focus on your breathing, focus on just driving and just keeping yourself safe and being the best driver you can be. It's hard. It's not easy. And at first it will be difficult and it takes time. It's a skill, not even just the driving, but the mental aspects. It's a skill. It takes time. Yeah, I haven't even mastered it yet. So I still have bad days and I have great days. So, I mean, if you ever have a bad day, just know with bad days, there's good days too. So you just keep yourself going and just make sure you're okay. If you feel like crap and you're driving and you're like, I hate this, then stop. Pull out, take a breather, meditate, do whatever you got to do, have a hoagie, or you don't know what a hoagie is, probably a sandwich or whatever. Philadelphia terms, my bad. And just like, you know, just take care of yourself. And if you're okay and you're driving okay, then you will drive okay. So, it's a skill. Yeah. You'll learn. And the best way to learn is experience. So keep going. Keep trying. Try new things with the car. Drive with different instructors. Drive without an instructor. You know, you work on it. It's like any other thing. It's like flying an airplane. You're not going to – they're not going to let you fly an airplane by yourself for the first time with like a bad thing. And no.
Oh, come on.
Oh, dude. There's everything. The first time you play basketball, you're not going to play with Michael Jordan. Like,
you just had
there's
me.
There's time.
Really? You had me so excited then for a second. God. Because, like,
there goes James's dream of becoming Maverick.
You see, I'm the guy who wants to just get on the track and drive. So, I'm also the guy that, I guess, wants to jump in the plane and fly. But are you saying I can't do that?
I'm the same way. When I first started going to DEs, I was like, I don't want to be in green. I want to be in advanced. I want to go fast. But then you realize, oh, maybe I'm not that fast yet. Just because the car is fast doesn't mean you're fast. And it just, you know, and it takes time. And if sometimes, like, especially the first few times you go to the track and you're a novice, you're super excited and all you want to do is get out of it and keep going and keep going. But you got to understand that there's steps and there's, you know, you can't just go from preschool to high school within a weekend. You got to go through every grade to get there. And it's work. Like, that's why the reason I was able to do it within a year was just because I went often. I went 30 times within a year and a half, had 30 track days. Man. I just was like, I'm going to drive until I feel like I can race. And I got there and I'm racing and there's some people I know who try to jump into racing too early and and then it's too stressful. If you jump into racing without having the experience you need, talk about anxiety. Yeah. People are this close to you and they're not passing without a point by. It's a whole different game, you know? Wow. So you definitely got to know yourself.
Well, you got me excited, Alex. I want to get out tracking. I've got to fix my car first. It doesn't yet drive on the road, but
it will.
Well, thank you. Belief in me, Andy. Did you hear that? Do you hear that? There's belief.
Yeah. No. All I hear is excuses, man. All I hear is excuses.
I've got to replace the engine, and I painted it so it looks nice, but it actually needs some working parts.
It looks really fine.
My dad always says, like, the Brat, for example, is not the best condition. It's a bit of a project car. And I was like, I ordered floor mats for it. And Dad always says that it's putting lipstick on a pig. He's like, you're just putting lipstick on a pig. I'm like, but I want nice floor mats. He's like, it barely runs. I'm like, so?
That's my approach.
Yeah. Well, like we say, polishing it too.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Alex, it's been really great having you on the podcast.
Yes, thank you
so much for joining us and sharing your enthusiasm about all of these amazing things that you do. I think the X in your name should be X Games or some other derivative. If people want to follow you, I know you have a public Instagram profile, which is Alex Farragut. You can follow your racing endeavors and all of the fun things you do. Any sort of closing thoughts for our listeners?
Stay fast, always.
I like it.
You know? And, and if anybody, you know, ever wants to ask me questions or if they need help, if they live in the Pennsylvania area, I instruct with PCA and I instruct at the track as well. If anybody needs help or has any questions, I'm always here. And I That's love fantastic. Getting, especially younger people, I love getting them into it. I love of all ages, but you know, we want more young people in it as well. So,
yeah, for sure.
But 100%. I'm always, if anyone ever has any questions, I'm free. Facebook, I have a Facebook as well. It's also my name, which is Alex Farragut. And you can find me really anywhere under that. The only thing I use is Facebook and Instagram. And I post on YouTube slightly, not much. Most of that will just be put on Facebook though.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I want to acknowledge you, Alex, for a great conversation, your passion and enthusiasm for everything you do. And you know, you think these things through as well. It's been a brilliant, brilliant conversation. Thank so thank you so
of
much.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I've never done this before, so this is fun.
Neither have we.
I don't believe you.
What a great person.
Oh, huh? My God. She's incredible. I mean, she's like fun and daring and confident and intelligent. And she puts all of that into everything she does. And just, yeah. I mean, I can't even remember everything she does. I mean, flying, boating, driving cars, racing, living the dream. That's just absolutely fantastic.
I found that a really inspiring conversation, you know, not just, yeah, she, like you say, she does all these things, but she's passionate and exuberant, but it also sounds as though she's quite, you know, she understands the journey, understands it's a process, you know, and is putting the work in, for example, with her racing, you know, 30 track days in a year and a half. There were so many things she said in that interview that I just thought were terrific, not only for car life but for life in general. What an amazing young woman!
Absolutely. Now I've got like a slight interest in 80s muscles cars as well. Like which one can I pick up for maybe 5 or 10 grand? And
do you know? So I dreamt this is 70s, I think, but the day before I picked up my 964. That night I had a dream that on my way to pick up the 964, I drove past a car yard and saw a yellow Corvette and decided to buy that instead.
Oh, no way.
Stingray. And then I got it home and was like, what the hell have I just done? I just woke up in a cold sweat.
Oh my God. Was that doubt talking to you somehow?
I don't know. Maybe it was.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Well, everybody, thank you for tuning in to another episode. If you want to follow Alex's adventures on the track, she's Alex Farragut on Instagram and Facebook. And that's it. Another episode in the can, Andy.
That's it. We're doing all right. Guys, thank you so much for listening as always. Make sure you check us out on Instagram at Curb and Canyon. Follow James at Auto Amateur and me at Last Rasp, and we'll see you on the next one.
Take care. Bye.